And it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to learn more about Hope, you can at InvestingHope.com. You can listen to this show. Of course, you can listen live as you do every Tuesday afternoon at Joy 620, or you can find it in podcast form, wherever podcasts are found, iTunes, Google Play app, TuneIn app, wherever you listen to your podcast. We would certainly enjoy you subscribing. Rating it. If you like it, rate it. If you don't like it, just don't say anything, and we'll be good to go there. So excited about what's happening and what's happening in the pro-life movement. A lot of things moving in the right direction, and we're just some really good news. Last week, if you listened to the show, we talked about the numbers that are out there, the latest abortion numbers that have been calculated. And, man, we have seen a large decrease in abortions, 53% decrease in abortions since 1973. Let that number sink in. If you want to hear me talk a little bit more about that, you can listen to last week's show. Also, another number that was important that we pointed out last week was during that same amount of time, as we saw a 53% decrease in abortion, we saw an 86% increase in pregnancy centers opening their doors. And so those numbers, in my estimation, are certainly connected. And we are grateful to be able to do that work at Hope Resource Center, where we're serving moms and their babies, and just excited about what God has for us this year and what He's already brought for us this year. The current class we have at Hope, the current parenting class, 24 patients are in that parenting class. We're going to be throwing a lot of baby showers in the next few weeks, and just excited to be a part of that. And if you want to help us do that, you can by going to investinghope.com, clicking on the big blue donate button, and partnering with us. We would love for you to do that. Today we're going to talk about some information that was released just the last few days about Planned Parenthood that I think is important to note, because it's dealing with money. And so, as you know, Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in this country, receives $500 million from the federal government every year in the ways of reimbursement and those type things for the services that they're providing. They claim those services and those funds do not go to abortion, but we know how budgets work. And so if your family is living currently on a budget of $100,000 a year, and somebody just decided every year to give you $100,000 extra, and you say, well, that money's not for helping us live. Well, an extra $100,000 would help you do some other things, would it not? Of course it would. We know that to be true. And so the fact that they're receiving $500 million a year allows them to do other things, and it allows them to provide more abortions, and it allows them to do this. This is what they announced over the last few days, and I think we're going to spend some time here. This is an article from National Review. If you're not following them, you should. And this is an article that talks about the big announcement. This article is written by Zachary Evans, and it says, Planned Parenthood announced on Wednesday of last week the launch of a $45 million ad campaign targeting key battleground states in the fight to defeat Trump and reclaim a majority in the Senate. The organization Super PAC said the campaign will include advertisements in the mail, television, radio, and digital media, as well as grassroots initiatives. The campaign will be especially focused in Arizona, Colorado, and North Carolina, where Republican senators are up for re-election in 2020. Those races could decide which party holds a majority in the Senate. Executive Director of Planned Parenthood Votes, her name is Kelly Robinson, she's the executive director, said in a statement that next November, our very rights and freedoms will be on the ballot. The campaign will also target voters in states crucial to President Trump's re-election, including Wisconsin, Michigan, and Florida. Planned Parenthood has faced several setbacks over the past year. The organization left the federal family planning program in August due to the Trump's decision to enforce a ban on abortion referrals. Several states have also taken steps to curtail access to abortion providers, most notably Alabama, which outlawed almost all instances of abortion earlier this year. Successful rollbacks of abortion access led to the organization to declare a, quote, state of emergency. On Friday, the Supreme Court announced it would hear arguments in the case of a Louisiana law that requires the clinician who performs an abortion to have admitting privileges to a hospital within 30 minutes of the clinic. The court struck down a similar law in Texas the previous year. However, the recent addition of conservative Justice Brett Kavanaugh has tipped the ideological makeup of the bench toward a more conservative stance, fueling speculation that the court may uphold the law in this instance. And so, okay, $45 million. Planned Parenthood organization have said they're going to focus on political campaigns. Now think about that for a second. Now Planned Parenthood would argue that what they do is not political. Hey, this is a women's health issue. It's not political. It's not about the politics. $45 million to politicians sure sounds political to me. How much do you believe? How many people could $45 million help? How many women facing unplanned pregnancies, not sure of what to do, struggling financially? Man, $45 million could go a long way, couldn't it? You know, it's interesting to me. We talk often that they say that abortion is just a part of what they do. It's not who they are. It's not the main focus. It's not the main goal. It's just 3% of what they provide. But yet, as I read that article and we read their explanation, why are they focusing the dollars where they're focusing the dollars? Why are they putting $45 million into political campaigns in certain states? Well, they want to see the president defeated. They want to see pro-lifers defeated. But also it noted that they're going to focus their dollars in states that have put restrictions on abortion. It didn't say they're going to focus their dollars in states where women's health was at risk. It said we're going to focus our dollars where abortion has been restricted. You see, folks, abortion is the focus for them. Abortion is the cash cow. And the fact that now they would argue, well, the half $1 billion that we're receiving every year from the federal government has nothing to do with the $45 million that is providing for some of these political campaigns. Again, I would just give you the simple illustration. If somebody gave you a family that is running on a normal, let's say, again, just for round numbers, $100,000 budget, that's what you're running on every single year. That pays your mortgage, that pays your the food tab, that pays your grocery bill, that pays your electric, that pays your water, that takes care of the school lunch, that takes care of everything, your car payments, your insurance, all of that, $100,000 is taken care of. And then let's say I walked in and I said, look, I'm going to give you another $100,000. Now, the only thing is that money cannot be used. This is really my only restriction. That money cannot be used to take care of your electric bill and your grocery bill. Now, would you say, well, man, I don't know how I'm going to operate? Or would you say, wow, that's really going to free us up to do some other things with this other money? You see, that's what's happening. That the reason they have the $45 million over here and they're saying that we're going to focus this on campaigns and political targeting is because they don't need that money to help moms and their babies. Why? Because they're receiving half $1 billion a year from the government. And so that they're pointing these dollars in certain states and in certain places. Why? Because abortion is the focus. It's always been the focus, and it will always be their focus. They fired the last president of Planned Parenthood. Why? Because abortion wasn't her focus. She's certainly pro-choice. She's certainly for abortion. But she said, look, we need to grow our tent. Maybe we don't need to be so political. Now it all makes sense, right? So they're wanting to focus $45 million into political funds and political action across the country, when their last president was like, maybe we don't need to be so political. Maybe we do need to talk to some folks that disagree with us. No, abortion is king because they can't even keep the president that they brought in. They touted, hey, she's the doctor. It's the first doctor we've had as president of this organization. And wouldn't you know, she's not pro-abortion enough for him. So make no mistake, when we see these $45 million being focused in certain areas of this country, it is because they see the writing on the wall. They're seeing the same study that I talked about last week. They're seeing the numbers decline in abortion. They're seeing more and more pregnancy centers open. They're seeing laws restricting abortion across this country. They're seeing the Supreme Court shift a little bit. They're getting nervous. You know, we talk about this story. It's not as if this isn't what they always do. They always spend a lot of money when it comes to political campaigns. Hey, and I get it. Pro-lifers spend a lot of money when it comes to political campaigns too. All I'm saying is that $45 million, when you come out and say, look, our only focus is women's health and access to care for women, what do you think would provide access to care? I don't know, $45 million? Why do these women not have access? Many times it's because they don't have the funds for it. $45 million could go a long way. Why do you charge for an abortion? Why do you charge for an ultrasound? Why do you charge for an STD test? Why do you charge for treatment? Why do you charge for pregnancy test? Why do you charge for a well woman exam? Why do you charge for a breast exam? Any answers? No, there are no answers because everything is about growing that bottom line. Go meet with pregnancy centers in your community. We ain't charging anything. Why? Because we do care about women's health and getting them the care that they need and the service that they need. And we want to remove obstacles, not make new ones. So $45 million could go a long way in helping a lot of people. But instead, they're going to be targeting the president, targeting politicians. And again, taking this issue and making it fully political and missing the fact that there are women in this city and in this country that are in need. And they could care less about your politics. They need help. We'll talk more when we come back. Praise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. So as we continue the conversation, the first segment, the reason I wanted to focus on that is because a lot of times you are told that it is the conservatives, it is the pro-lifers that are making this a political issue. This has been the abortion issue has been a political issue for a long time. To be frank, that's why I got into the work to begin with. My pro-lifeness, wrongly, I believe, came from a political standpoint until the Lord convicted me and showed me this is first and foremost a gospel issue. It's a gospel issue for us. For believers, this is about who created life and why that should matter to us. And if we believe there is a creator, then that's going to determine how we interact with folks, both in and out of the womb. And so when I hear that the abortion giant is providing $45 million to political candidates and to produce ads and those type things, then that tells you they're nervous. That tells you they're concerned that they're losing grip. You see, last week when I talked about the abortion numbers since 1973 declining by 53%, we as pro-lifers celebrate that fact. And we want to see that number continue to drop. Planned Parenthood and the abortion lobby see that number and they go, oh no. What does that mean for our budgets? What does that mean for our buildings? What does that mean for our staff? What does that mean for the climate? What does that mean for politics? What does that mean for the Oval Office? What does that mean for the court? Instead, you see, if they were truly pro-choice, if they were truly pro-choice, when they see that number, they celebrate with us. But the fact that many are not celebrating and many are trying to figure out a way to make that number not true tells you that it's not about choice. It's about abortion. That has become their religion. And so here's another story that I want to point to, and I pointed to a few weeks ago, but there's been some additional information that this story is not getting the traction it deserves, and I'll tell you why here in a second. This is an article over at discern.com. If you are familiar with the Babylon Bee, Babylon Bee is a satire publication, I guess not a publication, online publication that is, it's satire. It's making fun, poking fun. It's kind of a conservative Christian satire of the news of the day. Well, the founder of Babylon Bee has created an actual real news website called Discern.com, D-I-S-R-N.com, and they're reporting real news from a unbiased perspective, and really given ground for news and information that's not getting a lot of play in the mainstream outlets. And so this is what they're talking about as of late. Authorities confirm remains of 165 more preborn babies found in abortion doctor's car, bringing the total to 2,411. Authorities have quantified the additional remains found Wednesday in the trunk of late Indiana abortion doctor Mercedes Benz. 165 aborted babies were found in the car, bringing the total amount of deceased preborn baby bodies found on his property to 2,411. On September 12th, the preserved remains of 2,246 preborn babies were found in the doctor's Illinois home when family members were going through belongings after he died. The abortion doctor passed away on September 3rd at the age of 79. So what does this mean? What does this mean? We have a former abortion doctor, recently dies. Now just put yourself in this situation, okay? The man dies, family's going through his stuff, as one does after after somebody dies of old age or any age, I guess. You go to the home and you got to start going through stuff. My dad's doing that right now in my grandparents' house. Hey, we got quilts. We have things that are here that we need to do something with. And so the family goes through his house. And what do they find? In the house, they found 2,246 aborted babies preserved in the house. And they immediately called authorities. And so what that then led to was we need to search more areas. And so they search his car. And in the car alone, they found 165 more aborted babies. And I'm sad to say, I don't think this is the end of it. I think there will be more. Now, why would this be the case? Well, one way of looking at it, this could be a doctor was performing abortions outside of the clinic, outside of hours, and didn't have and maybe even was doing it illegally and didn't have a way to dispose of the bodies. That's certainly possible. Didn't know what to do with them. And because he was skirting the law, maybe, again, I'm making assumptions here, he wasn't able to dispose of them properly. And then you have another way of looking at this is maybe it's a serial killer that was keeping trophies. Now we don't want to let our minds go there. And you're going to have folks say, well, he wasn't a serial killer. He was just providing abortions. But any news agency that's reporting on this, you know what they're not saying? They're not saying that over 2,400 blobs of tissue were found. You know, why do you think the family contacted authorities? Because they found blobs of tissue? Clumps of cells? You think that's why they called the authorities? Oh, our family member that was a doctor who just had blobs of cells preserved in containers in the home? Would that be weird? No, the reason they called authorities because it was clear these were humans. You see, and the reason why the mainstream outlets aren't covering this is because this hurts the narrative. It hurts the agenda. I think it's interesting, in the same week, actually the same day Planned Parenthood announces they're going to spend $45 million in political action between now and the next election. On that same day, authorities found 165 more babies in this man's car. You You see, this news should be on every cable news outlet. It should be in the papers. Just like Gosnell, Kermit Gosnell. And some of you hearing that name, that means nothing to you. Google Kermit Gosnell and what he was doing in Philadelphia. That man's in prison right now. Why? Because he was giving late-term abortions to blobs of cells? Because he was cutting the spines of clumps of tissue after they were born? Is that why he's in prison? No, he's in prison because he was murdering babies out of the womb. If abortion failed, he would take care of it when they were delivered. But there's a really good chance you never heard that story. Why? Because it hurts the narrative. You have one crazy person claim to be pro-life, and they attack an abortion clinic with violence or with graffiti or with anything. And it's the first story you're going to hear on cable news. It's going to be on all the main networks. Good Morning America, all of them. It will be everywhere because we have some right-wing pro-lifer that just went crazy. But you have a man that's storing over 2,400 aborted babies, and it's crickets on the main news outlets. You see, that's why we get concerned about bias in the media. When Kermit Gosnell, one of the worst serial killers to ever be in America, and people don't even know who he is. Because we're not honest. You see, it hurts when you claim to be pro-choice and you stand with the abortion lobby. You can't admit that this bothers you. Because admitting that this bothers you then tells the world you believe this is a life. Because if it's not a life and it's a clump of tissue or a blob of cells or a parasite, then none of us should be upset. Deserve anything. He helped all those women. But you can't read this story and not have a sense of despair and feel like there's something going on in your stomach because it's sickening. You can't read this story and not have that. And so for pro-lifers, we're going, yeah, this is what we've been talking about. And here's the reality. Are you prepared for the reality? He preserved over 2,400 and kept them in his house. And that bothers us. That shocks us. Hurts us. We need justice. When every single day, abortion clinics are throwing aborted babies in the dumpster, putting them in bags and they're being taken away. That happens every day. So this story is shocking and it needs to be told. But we also need to be telling the story of the daily occurrence of thousands of abortions across this country. That should shock us. And so, if folks are not going to report on it as they should, then we're going to give voice to it. And as the years continue to tick away, what we're finding is more and more of that curtain is being pulled back, and we're getting to see what the abortion industry really is about. And eyes are being opened, lives are being changed, and lives are being saved. We'll be back. So I couldn't get through a show without talking about the current political discussion going on around the country, and that is there was a town hall last week on CNN, and you know they've been doing this. It's just kind of the second big town hall they had. The first one was on climate change. It lasted for 7 hours or something. And, it, you know, if they were really concerned about the climate change, maybe not spend 7 hours spewing a bunch of hot air, but that's beside the point. So they had one on climate change this last week. They had one on LGBTQ issues. And I thought it was interesting that there was a lot of things said that I'm not going to go into in great detail. But Beto O'Rourke from Texas used his moment to talk about how he believes that if you do not accept and stand with the LGBTQ community in every shape, form, or fashion, that your tax breaks, your nonprofit status, all of that should be stripped away from you. And so what he's saying is, if you do not affirm that marriage is not just between a man and woman, but it can be between whoever, if you do not affirm that, if you teach different than that, if you run a Christian school, or if you run a mosque, or if you run a church or a synagogue, or Catholic, wherever you fall in there, and all the folks I just named would have a differing view when it came to marriage than the view of our culture and what our law would say. What he is saying is, well, you have a nonprofit, non-tax or a tax-exempt status, and what Beto would say is that needs to be removed. Now, I would say, to their credit, there's been a couple other candidates, Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg, have come out and said they disagree with that. It's shocking to me more folks haven't come out, but that's where we are today. And so the reason I bring that up is because I wanted to point a couple things out to you. First off, we have candidates that stood there for hours and hours and hours talking about civil rights, talking about human rights, and talking about dignity. They stood there forever doing that. These are the same folks that believe abortion is okay throughout an entire pregnancy. These are the same folks that can't bring themselves to vote for a bill that simply says if a baby survives an abortion, so if it's a botched abortion and baby survives, that baby deserves the same protections as every other U.S. citizen. Those are the same people that can't vote for that bill. They do not agree with that bill. In their mind, there is no such thing as a botched abortion. You let baby die. That is the only way you can look at that issue. So the same folks that are saying that civil rights matter, human rights matter, and we need to do everything we can to not just tolerate but accept and affirm are the same folks that say abortion is okay on demand for any reason throughout an entire pregnancy. And Beto is one of the worst when it comes to that and has been quoted as such. Another thing I want to point out is if you were to remove the tax-exempt status from houses of faith, from Christian schools, from synagogues, from mosques, from folks like that, then how do we plan to feed the hungry and provide housing and clothing for millions of people helped by charities that are benefiting from being tax-exempt? Did you know that you probably didn't know this? When the Red Cross comes in and provides meals at disasters, so if there's a hurricane, if there's a tornado, if there's something else going on, Red Cross will come in and they provide meals, tons and tons of meals across the country. Do you know who is preparing those meals? Over 90% of those meals are prepared by the disaster relief team of the Southern Baptist Convention. Did you know that? A lot of that probably would stop if Beto had his say. You see, the interesting thing about those situations is when people are in need because tragedy has struck, they're not going through the food line and saying, hey, before you prepare this meal for me, I need to know who you vote for. Hey, before you prepare this meal for me, I need to know if you believe in Jesus or not, or if you believe in Muhammad, or if you believe in some other God. I need to know that because if one of those are the case, then I don't want you to give me the meal. No, when people are in need, citizens stand up and help. And in most cases, the ones that are standing up the most is the church, are the faith institutions within our communities. And so arguing that we need to, this is what Beto actually said. There can be no reward, no benefit, no tax break for anyone or any institution or organization in America that denies the full human rights and the full civil rights of everyone in America. So here's my question to Beto. So will a Beto administration defund Planned Parenthood? Now his answer, of course, would be no. But it's interesting to me. You talk about those that are that refuse to recognize the full civil rights and full human rights of everyone in America. The abortion industry, there is a segment of our population. This is a fact. There is a segment of our population, those that are growing inside of the womb, that are not provided full human and full civil rights. That is a fact. And the abortion industry spends all of their money and all of their time targeting specifically that population. But that's okay. You see, that's okay because it fits with their narrative. It fits with their agenda. You see, Planned Parenthood, even though they're making billions of dollars a year, deserve a nonprofit status. You see, these organizations that are pushing the abortion agenda, we should be celebrating them. They should have meetings in the Oval Office. They should have meetings with all the morning shows. But this is the frustrating part about it all, is it's not... First off, this is unconstitutional. We have a freedom of speech, a freedom of religion here in this country. That's just a fact. And so the interesting thing, when you hear this, one thing that Beto didn't mention out loud was mosque and Muslims. But they would argue, just like Christians would argue, that marriage is between a man and a woman. You see, but he's not going to say that out loud because that's going to make some people uncomfortable in his camp. And so from a political standpoint, we have gotten away from seeking to do what is best for this country. And we've gotten to a place of we just need to push our agenda at all cost. We need to pander at all cost. We need to get people to the polls and to the votes at all cost. And the reality is it doesn't appear as if anyway that he's given a lot of thought to what that type of thing would do. If that type of decision to remove all of those rights, to remove those protections from places of faith, it would wreck a lot of things. But you see, today's political theater has become where you just have to outwoke the other person. And Beto is doing his best to outwoke everybody. To the point that Senator Elizabeth Warren is standing up and going, yeah, I don't think I would go that far. And the whole time they're doing this, they are completely neglecting the fact that there is a segment of our population that isn't awarded any rights. And that would be the population that's currently growing in the womb. And as I said last week, and as I said often, that population matters for a number of reasons. One of those being because that's where we got our start. We all, if you are hearing my voice right now, you grew inside of a womb. And shame on us for forgetting that. We'll talk more when we come back. But I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 You know, I like that song. I think they are fighting, well, they're fighting battles, but I think also they're fighting with oceans for how long the chorus can go. And so a lot of these newer worship songs are, they have a good hook, a nice chorus, and you could repeat that and give the pastor all the time he needs for the invitation by just keep saying, this is how I fight my battles. So clever stuff. Clever for sure. So thanks for listening today. If you want to learn more about Hope, you can at investinghope.com. Hopefully I was able to point you in some directions today of some news stories that you might not have been aware of, which is kind of the goal every week, is that we look at things that may not be covered in kind of your mainstream outlets, but certainly are important to the pro-life movement and to the work of pregnancy centers and the work in general of gospel people pointing folks to life. And so I would urge you to pray for us in this work, to pray for the movement as we continue to go forward, and to see that life be celebrated. I would urge you to pray for our staff as we're preparing, and the folks that are in parenting class right now, as we're preparing to provide a lot of baby showers coming up in November, and really looking forward to that, and can't wait to share those pictures with you and what that looks like. If you want to follow us on social media, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, and that's where we kind of post pictures and talk about the work that we're doing, and we would welcome that. Just to continue to be amazed at what God is doing in and through Hope Resource Center, and the lives that are being impacted, and babies being saved. And we're working right now on an Advent study that I put together, and hopefully we'll have that for you. Not hopefully, we will have that for you around Thanksgiving, so you can prepare for the Advent season. And while you're preparing for that, of course, reading through the Word and getting yourself ready as we celebrate the first Advent and long for the second Advent, the second coming of our Savior. But also sharing some stories within that Advent study of the hope and the preparation and the joy and the love and all of that that goes into the work of Hope Resource Center and that you're a part of. And so we'll be sharing that with you in the coming days. And so you can download it online and have it for yourself. And hopefully you can include that in your Advent study this year. We would love for you to do that. It'll be free for you to download. And we're looking forward to having that available very soon. And you'll be able to get that on our website as well as social media outlets too. If you want to give, if you want to partner with us, investinghope.com, click on that donate button and partner with us. Your funds are helping us serve this population. And so every single dime we raise goes to helping in that effort. We do not receive any money from the state, federal government, from the taxpayer, from insurance companies, nothing like that. So you can just see the contrast between what we do and what the abortion industry does. And so we are providing all of those services, and we're able to provide those services at no cost because of people like you, because of businesses, because of churches, because of grants, and people standing with us to make sure that the women in the city are loved well when they're facing that unplanned pregnancy and facing that tough situation. We are just grateful to be able to do that every single day at Hope Resource Center, and been doing it since 1997. And it's just an honor to be able to look back and look forward at the same time and go, man, God has had his hand in this since the beginning, and the work is not done. And so the amazing thing is the numbers that I gave last week, since 1973, 53% decline in abortion rates. And in that same period of time, we have seen an 86% increase in the amount of pregnancy centers that have opened. Hope was one of those that opened in 1997. And we continue to see people stand up and say, we're going to love our city, we're going to love our communities better, and we're going to give these women a place to go when they need assistance. And that's what we're able to do at places like Hope Resource Center in this state and across this country. And so we're grateful to be a part of it. We're grateful that you are partnering with us in that work. And we just look forward to many, many, many more months and more years to come at Hope Resource Center. We'll talk to you next week. Christmas too, and God bless you and send you a happy